I want to talk about astonishment. This is a story that you've heard about an encounter with Jesus with two disciples that are just trying to figure out what has happened. And this is a story of astonishment. And my argument is going to be that astonishment is the upside of being in those moments of what the heck just happened. Right, as a friend of mine would say, who turned out the lights, right? And there are these moments that occur in our life where things seem, we think we know how things are working. We figure this is the way it's going to be, or it should be. We can feel comfortable with that. We can feel good about that. We can feel like, oh, well, it's never going to change. And then suddenly, it's a completely new situation. So I want to talk about this business of being astonished, this being struck with the intense and unusual sudden surprise that brings on a sense of perplexity, wonder, what the heck just happened. Now, you probably know that. You could probably name moments of astonishment in your own life. Maybe they were hard moments. Maybe they were beautiful ones. When my wife was a young girl, she probably read somewhere like in the... Remember when people would read? Like, there was a magazine... Yeah, there was a magazine called the National Geographic. Any fans of the National Geographic in here? So she apparently ran across this place called the Grand Canyon. And as a young person, she wanted to go. You know, it sounded cool. It's beautiful to see in pictures. Some of you have been there. Who has been to the Grand Canyon? All right, so you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. So she had, as a young person, this desire to go see the Grand Canyon. And but she never had a chance to. Her family never made it out that far. And so when we had kids, when we adopted, she was like, I want them to not wait. We're going to go see the Grand Canyon. And I hadn't been either, but I didn't have that young person's passion. Maybe I wasn't reading enough, you know. And so she said, let's do this. And so we went for a week of mission at Redbird. Some of you have been to Redbird Mission in Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky. Powerful, important work. So we, as a family, went and did a week of mission. And then we hopped in the car after that, and we, you know, drove across country to Arizona, made it to Flagstaff. Now, when I got to Flagstaff, I decided this is my kind of place. And I liked Flagstaff so much, I think I sent a social media post that said, this is it, I'm growing a ponytail, and I'm moving to Flagstaff. You know, it was just like my kind of vibe. I love Flagstaff. And then the next day we got up early and had to take care of some stitches. That's a whole other story, you know. So we spent morning kind of chasing the doctor around in Flagstaff. And then that afternoon we drove to the Grand Canyon. So it's like we're exhausted. We've done a week's worth of mission. We're tired. And we have three young children, one of whom has newly pulled stitches, okay? So can you imagine the emotional state that we're in? Thank you very much. So we drive up to the Grand Canyon. We get there. And if you've been to the Grand Canyon, you know that there is very little in terms of what we would think of as a safety fence, right? And I have three children, one of them a little older, but two knucklehead younger ones, that were already grumpy, and we were ready to kind of rumble. So I sent Gina on with the older, my son. Gina and the son made their way to the rim, and I held back with those two knuckleheads of mine. And I was giving them the extensive father safety briefing, which is very necessary for young people so that they don't go over the edge of the Grand Canyon. And so we had, and of course, they listened intently and said, oh, yes, Father, we'll do everything you are telling us to do. So I'm in a bad mood, and I figure that Gina's in a bad mood, you know, kind of making their way through. And but we caught up with them, and Gina was there with my son, and she was in tears. Because if you've been there, you know that nothing prepares you fully for what you see. And she was just incredibly happy. And I was incredibly happy that no one fell off the edge. But that sense of wonder, of astonishment, of being astounded by that moment was part of, you know, a culmination of what she desired, but also a reorientation of what she even kind of thought that experience might be like. Because when you get there, maybe you have seen it in pictures, maybe you've heard descriptions of it, but nothing prepares you for quite the experience that you have right there on the edge. Colin Turnbull, as an anthropologist in the 60s, wrote a remarkable book about the forest people of the Congo in Central Africa. It was part of my educational experience to read that book. And there's one passage that he talks about taking a friend from these forest people, these people that have lived their life as hunter-gatherers inside of the forest, and he takes them, he takes this friend to the savannah to see elephants and giraffes, but at a distance, and the friend thinks he has left the planet, that he may have died because the experience is so different from what he had understood the way life should be. That's astonishment. It works this way. It seems like this would be the way it is. No. It's more. So in this story that Deborah just read, you hear this moment, this encounter of astonishment, where two disciples are making their way to a small village outside of Jerusalem. This is the day of the resurrection. And they are trying, they're talking with each other, and they're trying to figure out still, like the other disciples back in Jerusalem, what the heck just happened? Who turned out the lights? There's all these stories. The women are saying this. What do we, what? And so, for whatever reason, we don't know. For whatever reason, Jesus appears to them. He comes to them in a very intimate way. He's a stranger and he's walking beside them. They have no idea. They don't recognize him, but it is the presence of Christ right there. And he says, what are you talking about? What is it that you're going through? And they start to explain to him what is going on. He asks, what are you saying? What's going on? They are trying to make sense of this, and so they start trying to explain it, kind of like, you're not from around here, you probably don't know this, but let us tell you what's going on. And what they say, and don't miss this, what they say to him is that, you know, this guy Jesus, he was pretty amazing. He did all these things and was recognized by God and the people as a prophet. In other words, they only have part of the picture. They've got it wrong. Because what we say about Christ is that he is the Christ. He is the Son of God, the resurrected one who is resurrected because of that connection with Christ. I mean, prophets are great. I like prophets. Don't you like prophets? Everybody's a prophet fan in this room, right? We have a full Old Testament filled with people who are messengers, who speak for God. And they're saying, this guy, He was doing really good. He did all these amazing things. He had to be a prophet. And Jesus has to say, let me tell you something. And needs to spend time opening up the doors of their minds, opening up the doors of their hearts in that intimacy of walking right beside them. And he starts telling them and explaining, using the scriptures, about the Christ, about himself, not about prophets. So here is a couple of guys, very faithful, trying their best to make sense of it, but still, in the astonishment of what has happened, needing to go deeper, needing to experience more and what is possible. David White, the philosopher and poet, says, sometimes we need to allow ourselves to be in real conversation with the actuality of our life, meaning that we let the events and relationships that are in front of us actually change us, rather than filling it into the template, the boilerplate that makes sense for what is going on. They needed to encounter Christ even in the midst of this reality-bending truth of the resurrection. They still needed to go more. They still needed to go deeper. And they did. He explains them to them. They're excited about this. Weren't our hearts burning inside of us as he told us these things on the road, they said to each other. So it's a good thing to stop here and to say that we stand in our own moments of disorientation, don't we? Our own moments where we have to kind of look at the situations that are in front of us and go, who turned out the lights? Or what the heck? Say that with me. What the heck? I think you can say that in church, right? Chaos. I mean, what happened last night at the correspondence dinner? Just absolute chaos. The war that we are witnessing in the Middle East, the ongoing nature of all that, the social division, the political division, the division that exists inside of families, the constant renegotiation of who we are as a community, the constant sort of dealing with change, right? And disruption, and pain, and misery. What the heck? So, to those kinds of situations, Jesus, that Christ, very well might say, what are you talking about? Inquiring to you, what is it that you're saying about this moment? What are you talking about? What is going on? Would we say, oh, well, surely you're not from around D.C., are you? You're not from Sterling and haven't heard. That's how it starts, an opening of, well, what do you know? Jesus says, what are you talking about? Well, the answer actually might be for us to kind of tell him, but also to stop and listen, because Jesus had something to say, something that took them deeper, even though he did not say, hey, guys, it's me, and show him, like, the, you know, his name on the shirt or whatever, you know. He doesn't fully reveal that. He just works through what they need to know in the moment that leads to the next moment and to the next. Knowing that he shows up. He shows up to them. He will show up to us and can bring us deeper into those struggles and through them, deeper past what seems to be such hard disorientation for us right now, the chaos, the war, the division, the change, the heartbreak over and again. Or, and not leave us in our wrongheadedness, our misunderstanding, our confusion, and our misdirection. He will, you know, Christ has a lot invested in you and your soul. And there is still more to do. So what I came around to say today to you, to ask you for your homework, is this. To those situations that we are facing now, what is Jesus asking you? What does Jesus ask? What are you talking about? What are you saying? And to those things, as you give your answers to Christ, what might He be telling you? What might He have for you that is the next step deeper? That's my invitation to you. And I say all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.